If you have your Bibles with you, if you turn please to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth in chapter 1. We're coming to a turbulent time even in the history of the people of God here. It is the eighth book. Eight being the number of new beginning. Coming out of the book of Judges. Coming after it. That very last verse of Judges says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so we have even the completeness, the fullness of sin here, and up to the book of Judges. Now we're coming to the book of New Beginning. A story and an oasis in the middle of a difficult time, a time of famine as such, the book of after the book of Judges. Ruth chapter 1, and commencing a reading at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife, Naomi, the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. They took on wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. The woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed him. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb? They may be your husbands. Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. May God bless the reading of his precious word even to our hearts this morning. Every single one of us, on every single day, have many choices to make. And so it is with that in mind this morning, I want to think upon life-changing choices. Each one of us make choices from the time that we get up in the morning until we go to bed at night. Various internet sources estimate that an adult makes somewhere in the region of 35,000 remote conscious decisions each day. 35,000. In contrast to a child who makes somewhere in the region of 3,000. Maybe that's why children have less stress in their life. Maybe we're making too many choices during the day. The number may seem absurd in many ways, but they reckon that we make somewhere in the region of over 200 decisions each day about what we're going to eat alone, about food. And as our level of responsibility increases, so does the smorgasbord as such of choices we are faced with. We have been given in some ways that free will to make multitude of choices about our life. You get up this morning, you decided, well, what will I eat this morning? Unless you're like me, you have to wait on what your wife's going to give you. But again, you had the choice to eat it or not. You opened your wardrobe this morning and you decided, what was it you were going to wear this morning along to church? Each one of us make decisions each and every day about the things that we will purchase. We make choices every single day on things that we believe in. And as we grew up from childhood into adulthood, we start to make those choices around jobs and careers and the careers that we will pursue. Oh my, we've been captured with elections even this past year. Decisions to make. Brexit. We've decided where to put our vote. We also decide every single day who we spend time with. An interesting thought is that they reckon that you become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. It's worthwhile looking around your friends today and asking yourself, am I the average? Are these the people that I should be spending time with? As we grew up then, we decide in the sense of dating or marriage, making life-changing decisions and choices. Oh, we make these choices every day in the things that we say and the things that we refrain from saying. Someone one time made a comment to me that said, I can't believe the things that you say. And I said, if you only knew what was in my head, you'd be saying you can't believe the things I refrain from saying. We think a lot around our children and how they grew up, all the choices that we make. Life-changing choices. Helping them through education. Helping to point and direct them in their education and their careers. Making life-changing decisions and choices. Every single choice that we make carries that certain consequence that goes with it, whether it be good or bad. And yet as we think of this great ability we have of choosing, in some ways it can be exciting. In some ways it's very powerful. God has entrusted us today with those things, the creator of the universe. And we have a great obligation today as stewards to make wise choices. Some years ago I read a book. And in the very first chapter of that book, it had the equation E plus R equals O. E plus R equals O. E stood for events, R stood for response, and the O stood for outcomes. Events plus response equals outcomes. Now, there's only one part of that equation that we can influence. In a sense, only one part that we can have a part in, and that is in the response or in the choices that we make. You know, it's quite possible that I could go home today and damage my car. We had people visiting our home last week, and as they were coming to arrive at the home, or the week before actually, somebody ran into the back of them. You know, the response from them could have been, oh, that's terrible, it's doom and gloom. All these different things. Their car was damaged, their bumper was damaged. But you know what? They didn't think like that. They thought, our car's damaged, but we're okay. They had a different response. They had a different outlook. And the accident didn't look as bad. The truth is sometimes that people just look at the bad all the time. The bad outlook. But every single day, events will happen to us. And yet we need to make a response. We need to choose a direction. And yet in so many ways, we plan our life. There's some things we don't plan for. They come upon us. In James 4 and verse 13 and 14, it says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, and we'll get into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be in the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Do you know, we have set these plans in motion, but events happen. One of the men from our church last year, him and his wife were having a conversation about his sister and said, you know, your sister's getting older and she hasn't been that well lately. I think we'll go and see her. They traveled down to see the sister. They had a day of fellowship. They were going to come home the next day. as we went into the Port Stewart, they decided they would have a cup of coffee. But the woman took ill. She got home that night. She was so unwell. She was rushed to the hospital. A few days later, she passed out into God's eternity. They had all their plans, but events took over. And so it is as we stand this day at the edge of a new year. We may have all the plans for the future. But you know what? It's good to have plans, and that's okay in and of itself. We may have set certain goals even for this year, things we want to achieve in life. And it's good to have an outlook. We may have set our holidays already. We maybe even booked them. We may also have our plans to lose weight this year, whatever they might be, whatever goal you might have. But you know, there was one thing years ago in the language of the Christian. Every time they said they were going to do something or go somewhere, they always used those two letters, DV, God willing. And so it is, no matter what plans we have today, they need to be under God willing. And let us be honest with ourselves today. We may have all the plans. We may have all the goals in place. But events will happen. And they will happen whenever we're not expecting them. Death. Job losses. Illnesses. You know, life in itself can be very, very cruel. And so it is when we come to this passage of Scripture. It's a difficult time in the nation of Israel. But it's also a difficult time in a family here. A difficult time. We're thrown into this sad time in the history. There's famine in the land. There's some life-changing choices that will have to be made. It's in Bethlehem. The place that means the house of bread. But you know, God had set out earlier in Scripture what he had expected from his people. He had expected obedience. Please turn with me to Leviticus chapter 26. Not only had he set out before them about obedience, but it also set out before them what would happen if they disobeyed him. And if we look at Leviticus 26 and the verse 3 to 5, he says there, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. The vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely." And here we have the picture in Ruth. It's not a picture like that. God is bringing his judgment upon them. Look at verse 14 of Leviticus 26. "But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you will despise my statutes, and if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, and I will do this unto you, I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it." Look at verse 20. "And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield or increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits." God promises to judge his people. And so it is, we need even ask ourselves today as we look at our land, is God judging our people? Maybe not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Is he judging our people? We can see here that God is judging his people. You might ask that question, why? Well, I mentioned it earlier, even in the opening part of this address. In Judges 21, verse 25, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This is why there was judgment upon these people. This is the backdrop to the life-changing choice that was going to be made. Elimelech, a man with a wife, a man with two sons, what was he to do? In a place of famine, will I stay here in Bethlehem or will I move to somewhere else? Will I move to Moab? What choices? Let us this morning not make light of it. I am sure this was not an easy decision. And I'm sure you today and here as parents at different parts of your life has had to make decisions that were not easy. I am sure he may have, in his own mind, he weighed up all the pros and cons. He maybe got a list out and made a list of all the things, the right reasons to do it, all the other reasons why not to do it. Just like Elimelech, we need to make difficult decisions, difficult choices. But how can we make difficult choices in difficult times? You see, the one thing that this man did, I believe he made the decisions through his own eyes, on his own terms. And so it is that so many of us, you know, we make decisions that lead us off in a different direction because we think it's right. We see it through our own eyes. We make the arguments that it's right. But God says in that well-known, those well-known verses in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. But we, as people, can be so impatient, and we want to run ahead of God. Here's a man who's making a choice, and I believe he's running ahead of God. He's thinking through all the reasoning on his own, and God has given us that ability, but he doesn't bring God into the dimension of it. Sometimes we argue with ourselves and we persuade ourselves that this will only maybe a temporary thing, and we think that what we're doing will only be a short time, and it may not fight, but it'll be all right for a short time. Look at that verse 1 of Ruth 1. Those last few words, they went to sojourn in the country of Moab. And the word there, sojourn, has the idea of it being temporary. And so it is that sometimes we think as we go through life, well, this is just going to be something temporarily. But isn't it true that sin takes us further? When we're outside the will of God, the sin takes us further than we ever wanted to go, even as God's people today. Look at that verse 2, the very last two verses of verse 2. It says there, they continued there. They continued. They continued longer than they had intended. And we look at verse 4. The last part of verse 4. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Oh, it was only to be a short time. But look how it lasted. 10 years in the land of Moab. Do you know, have you maybe this morning, have you made a bad choice? Just like this man, a bad choice. Maybe there's some choices you have made in your business career, in your personal career, family. You've made bad choices. And 10 years later, you're paying the price. 10 years later, you're in the same situation, you're in another situation. No longer in a house of bread, but way far away from God. You know, it reminds me of the story of Christ whenever he was lost. Remember, they'd went a day's journey. Yet it took him 3 days to find him. 3 days to find Christ again. And so it is so often that we lose out with God and it takes us, it's harder to get back. Elimelech had never planned to stay so long. He never, I'm sure, planned to see his sons marry in that country. I'm sure he never planned to die in that country. Oh, it was all just a short-term thinking. But the events happened. The famine happened. The events happened. They left and he responded to it. He left. And there was the outcome. He was living in the land of Moab and he'd got far away from God. And there's consequences for being far away from God. What pain and what sorrow was brought to that home. and to that family. Each one of us need to be so careful about the choices that we make in life. Running with the wrong people. I remember as a late teenager being with the wrong people, even as a Christian, being with the wrong people for maybe the right reason, getting myself into trouble with the law. Many of us make wrong decisions in careers. As I look throughout my own life, I'm quite sure you can do the same as you look through the tapestry of your life. Oh, there'll be the dark threads that are in there. The dark threads of whenever you made the wrong choices, wrong decisions. You'll see also the good choices that you've made. Choices you've made in marriage, careers. But this man, Elimelech, he made a bad choice. He should have known better. His name here even reminds him, his name is that idea of God is king. He should have known, he should have put God into the equation. But he didn't. It was all about him. It was all about what they could do to overcome this famine. And they decided to flee from Bethlehem, the house of bread. A bad choice. But also within this passage of Scripture, I believe we also have a good choice. See, we're not told fully whether Naomi fully agreed with her husband or not in leaving. But she was going to pay that terrible price for being in the wrong place. But it's interesting, as you read this portion of Scripture in verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now get that. She's now in a country on her own with her two sons. She could have went home. But she made a bad choice here. She decided to stay with her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. Took them wives. She was outside the will of God. And we all know that the best life is where God is. The best place to be is where God is. Her name tells us a lot about her. The idea of the name of Naomi is that is as pleasant. The idea of being pleasant. She was an agreeable person as such. Type of woman you'd want for a wife, wouldn't you? Somebody who's pleasant, someone who's agreeable. I'm sure you've all got wives like that this morning. But she comes to a stage in her life here. Her two sons die. She's on her own. And she asks herself that question. Should I stay in Moab? Or should I return? She looked at verse 6. And then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab. For you had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. She had heard that the Lord had visited them. Oh, now she was longing for the things of the past. She was longing for the person, I believe, of Christ, of the bread of heaven. She's longing here even again for the provision that would be made. What about you today in this church service? Maybe you're in church, but where are you dwelling today? Are you dwelling in Moab? Or are you dwelling in Bethlehem? Have you missed out with the person of Christ? Have you missed out in his provision? Are you Moab today in Bethlehem? Are you going to be like Naomi here and make that decision, make that choice, that life-changing choice to go back to Bethlehem? Is there a desire in your heart for the person of Christ today? Is there a desire for his provision in your heart? Oh, she was dissatisfied where she was. And verse 6 says that she arose. She arose. She's having done with where she is. She's getting up from where she sits. And she's saying to those around her, I need a change. I need to change. I need to return. I will return. Did you have it all planned out? Don't think so. What about you this morning? Have you plans for this year? Is God in your plans? Oh, how the waywardness had a terrible effect on her. How the years, the 10 years in Moab had caused great effect to her. Look at that in verse 19. So the two went, that is, Naomi and Ruth, until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" I believe that sin affects us, and the signs of the sin was upon her. Oh my, how we see so many of even the celebrities of this life, and how we see the effects of sin on them. Another musician died again at age 53, I believe it was. They said because of the effects of heroin, it brings life, it shortens life. Oh, sin affects. And even in the life of a believer, sin affects. The living in Moab caused physical effects to her. And she said to them, look at that verse 20, 21. And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, the pleasant one of such, the agreeable one. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full." She left a land of famine as such. But she says, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, saying the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" Oh, she knew the hand of God had been upon her in judgment. She was to be called Mara. She was to be called bitter. She, as such, there's no joy in her life. Lost her husband. Lost her two sons. No joy. And so it is, and so many times in the life of the believer who backslides, who falls away, there is no joy. No joy in their life. And even in the Psalm 51 and verse 12, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." He didn't say, "Renew me my salvation." Because we know in God's word that once we're saved for eternity. But David had lost the joy. Have you lost the joy of your salvation? Oh, there's that promise in Scripture. It's a well-known verse in Joel 2 and 25. "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." Notice it was God's army. It's there for his judgment. And so it is, as we see here in the life of Naomi, how God's hand had been against her, how she'd been brought under judgment for her sin, for being outside God's will. But she made a life-changing choice, and she returned to Bethlehem. She returned, look at that in verse 22, she returned in the beginning of barley harvest. She came in the time of provision. What blessedness God gives to us as his people. And there's a welcome for you this morning if you're far away from God. Even if you've just got off the path a little, God will welcome you home. Also, we find in Ruth 4, in the verses 13, it says there, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was with his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which loved thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him." And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and came a nurse unto it. How she had the blessing of God in her life. But you know, we must never forget the message that was brought even to Naomi. It says in that verse 6, she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people. You know, where did that news come from? Someone needed to bring the news. And maybe today there's people who used to attend this church, and today they're far away from God. Will you be the one to take the news that there's bread again in Bethlehem? Are you the one who'll take that message to them and say, come home, come back to Bethlehem, there's provision for you, the person of Christ is welcoming you? Someone needs to carry the message. Someone needs to befriend those who are far away from God. Or we might point to Bethlehem, the house of bread, to point to Christ. And as God's word says in Galatians 6 and 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We have the bad choice that's made by Elimelech. We have the good choice that's made by Naomi. But finally, we come to the eternal choice. Each one of us at some stage in our life will make a choice that will affect our lives forever. Once a choice has been made, there seems to be there's no return. The motion has been put in place and it cannot be stopped. Naomi had chosen to go home, but what about her daughters? They at one point here we look at as going back with her. What is that do we hear from Naomi? Look at that verse 11. Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Why will you go with me? It's as if she didn't want them to return. Why was she stopping? And I asked myself a question. Maybe was it the fact she didn't have that? She didn't have the full joy of her salvation. She was returning to the Lord. She herself was an embarrassment. Maybe she felt that these two girls, these Moabites, would come back with her. They would be an embarrassment to her again. They would just be a reminder of the past mistakes, sin in her life. Maybe there was a lack of finance. She felt that she would have to provide for them. Both of these girls, they stood at that T-junction, that crossroads. They had an eternal choice to make. Both had started on the road, but not both of them would not continue. That verse 14 says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. She left. She went back. Verse 15 says, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people, to her gods. That's where she went back to her people and to her gods. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 13. This is the parable of the sower. In verse 3 there, the last part of it says, behold, the sower went forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Look at verse 21. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Here's a picture. A picture of Orpah. Grew up for a little time on the road back to Bethlehem. But she turned up, she turned back, she withered and she died. There was no root in her. Just like as such, even we think of Judas this morning, even how he kissed the Savior and he said, hail Master. Oh, how his heart was far away from him. And so it is here with Orpah. She went back to her people and back to her country. But not with Ruth. She made an eternal choice for good. Verse 16 and verse 17. She says, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. There was a woman who had submitted herself. Here was a woman who knew that to be in the right place with God, there had to be separation. Here is a woman, there's consecration in her life. She's devoted herself. And she comes to Bethlehem. She comes to the house of bread. She came for bread and she was provided for. And we know that the bread is Christ. Even as we've thought over the Christmas time of that town called Bethlehem, and how the very bread of heaven was put in that feeding place, that manger, how we're called to feed upon. Oh, she met in this town, in this Bethlehem, she met the Redeemer. The Redeemer we know means to buy back, but it's even more than that. The Redeemer here was to provide a son as such that the name might live on. And here we see in Ruth 4 and verse 6, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. And how Boaz came and Boaz redeemed. Redeemed Ruth and all that she was to own. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, verse 10, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, he says, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Boaz, a picture of Christ. The eternal choice provided for us here a family line that Christ would be born into. Or we, like Job today, we cry out, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on the latter day upon the earth. We have redemption today through his blood, and we know the forgiveness of sins. Life-changing choices made by Ruth. In conclusion this morning, we all acknowledge that we make choices that will change our life every single day. Each and every day we will stand at a different T-junction or a different crossroads deciding where to go. One man in Scripture named Pilate had that massive choice to take. He asked that question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That choice that he made that day led us to a place, not to a crossroads, but led us to the cross of Christ. A place where two thieves hung upon the cross as well. One that rejected Christ and the other that accepted Christ. He cried to Christ, have mercy upon me. And Christ says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. What about the eternal choice for you this morning if you're unsaved in this meeting? Will you accept him or will you reject him? The best choice is to accept him. The best choice is what the Philippian jailer did. He was told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Life-changing choices. The good choice, the bad choice, the eternal choice. Make it right in your own life.